Good morning. What a blessing to start this service with a prayer for us. As we're praying, I remember standing here with just Christina and I and Tim and Sandra Kipfer, who were here, and so many of you who were just on the stage, praying for us 10 years ago when we went for the first time with Dan and Joji Pantoja to Mindanao. And we were there for a year, just after we'd been married for a year. And then we came back to North America for 3 years, and our two oldest boys, Cody and Makai, with the long hair, were born here. And then we were called back. We were invited back by the Mennonite Church of the Philippines. And they asked if we would go there and be part of church planting and be part of supporting and continuing with Dan and Joji in some ways in a different area of the Philippines with peace and reconciliation. And having our ears and eyes open to what we saw the Holy Spirit doing and helping encourage and build up the church. And now here we are, 10 years later, and we're back. And we're so thankful for the support we've had from you. So many of you have been along this journey the whole way. And now, some of you have heard, and I've heard a few people ask us already, and so I'll say it right away. We were asked to, we were invited to pastor at Yarrow United Mennonite, and we've accepted that. And so we will be in Yarrow, or we are in Yarrow, living in Yarrow now, and we will be pastoring in Yarrow starting in mid-July. So that's exciting. That's exciting. And I mean, it's largely because the church has supported us and shaped us, and God has done that among us. So is there a picture up? Can you put the first picture? So this is our family. This is in a place called Fort Santiago in the middle of Old Manila, where the Spanish first came and tried to conquer the Philippines and take spices away and leave the gospel there. And they ended up doing a lot more than leaving the gospel. They ended up creating a bunch of wars. They ended up creating a whole lot of churches. It's one of the most Catholicized countries in the world. And Christina and I have spent the last 6 years of our life there learning to encourage the church and bring the church together to worship very diversely. We started a congregation called Peace Church Philippines. And Peace Church Philippines is made up of urban poor, it's made up of middle-class Filipinos, it's made up of former communist radicals, it's made up of some foreigners from Australia, a foreigner who's married a local Filipina. It's a very diverse community. And we've continued with this vision that Dan Pantoja had often said, that the gospel is about Jesus coming into the world, being crucified to heal the world, and on the cross, accepting the violence of the world on himself. And in that, and in the resurrection, making harmony with God, harmony with others, harmony within ourselves, in our identity in Christ, and harmony with creation. And so we continued with that work for the last 6 years. And I'll tell you some stories about exactly how that has happened. And as we were leaving, Christina was trying to figure out how she could participate in these services. Because now, as you've seen, we have four children. And if we were both up here, who knows where in the church they might be running around. And so she wrote something. And some of you may have seen it already. She published it. But I want to read you something that she wrote that was a common reflection about how our lives are really encapsulated, and our church life there is encapsulated by something that is very Filipino. Can you put the next picture up? Have any of you seen a jeepney before? Yes, okay. How many of you have ridden in a jeepney? Oh, we've got a few, The picture on your left is a very classic province picture of people traveling, coming down from the mountain. You pack as many people into that as you carry it, because who knows how far you'll have to walk if you don't get on that jeepney. And the jeepney is, it was formerly an American military Jeep from World War II. And the Americans, after World War II, left all these old Willys Jeeps around the Philippines. And the Filipinos got creative, and they decided, oh, we'll just stretch it, and they'll put a roof on it, and then we'll put a diesel motor in it, and we'll put bigger tires on it maybe if we need to. And they've created this, and it's the primary mode of transportation for 60 to 70% of people in an urban setting. And you can see the picture on the right. You're kind of on top of the person who sits beside you. You're not really beside them like we are in the pews. It's more like you're intermingled with them, and you're seeing what they carry, and you're touching what they carry, and you really become a close-knit group. One other unique thing about the jeepney is you don't sit like in a bus. You don't sit facing forward. The two rows are opposite each other, and you're looking at the person across from you. And these images and these experiences very much characterize our experience of church in the Philippines. That we learned as the Filipino church taught us, and as we shared our Anabaptist perspective of following Christ, we intermingled and we learned that this picture is so much what it looks like to walk with Christ together. So I'm going to read you what Christina had written. And it summarizes it nicely. Of the many unique wonders in the Philippines, the jeepney is easily at the top of the list. Originally created from military jeeps left behind by American troops, Filipinos created an iconic mode of transportation, one that is also a symbol of their culture and identity, and like none other in the world. While in most modes of transportation, passengers face forward, in a jeepney, two rows face each other. And as you travel, you really notice the people around you. You see their faces, their emotions. You track people's coming and going. Travelers hop on from different locations, carrying baggage from past journeys, and join the trip. Sitting so close to each other that your bodies practically interconnect. This is a rather unique way of traveling, but for many, it's the only way of getting where you need to go. We, as Peace Church Philippines, travel together much like a jeepney ride. We sit face to face. We really see each other as we journey. Emotions and issues don't go unnoticed as they would if we all faced one direction. But we, looking at each other, are interconnected in a tight and caring circle, holding on to one another as we travel the sometimes bumpy road. We come from different starting points, and we carry different baggage, and we have a different lens through which we interpret our journey. But that only makes traveling together more interesting and eye-opening. I'm so thankful for this jeepney life. It's become so normal that it feels like the only way of getting somewhere and the only way that will take us in the right direction. I believe this is the way God calls us to live. Not just traveling towards Jesus, sitting straight and facing forward, but traveling towards him, facing our brothers and sisters, really seeing and knowing the community we are on the road with. It's all about the journey of getting there, and it's a journey that is best done in community. I have a beautiful painting of a jeepney that will forever hang in our home. If you come visit us in Yarrow, you can probably see that painting. It reminds me of a jeepney life the Peace Church Philippines shares, and also as a reminder of keeping creating these jeepney communities wherever I am in the world, inviting others into a shared journey towards Jesus. We learned in this intimate, slowly growing community, Peace Church Philippines, that patiently journeying together in a close-knit community is the way we can actually become the people of God. Can you go to the next slide, please? Paul and some of the other New Testament writers wrote 17 statements, and you'll see it in your bulletin. I gave you a handout. 17 statements, and they all have the phrase "one another" in them when you translate it to English. And one thing about the way Paul wrote his letters, he wasn't teaching just moral things. He wasn't just teaching us how to do the right thing or be obedient. The beginning of Paul's letters are often a long story about this is who God is. This is who God revealed himself to as the people of Israel. And this is how he's shown us his love. And he was patient with us. He embraced us. When we were unfaithful, he was faithful. And he describes over and over how the cross of Christ and the love of Christ has made us God's children. And now we're God's children. We have a new identity. We are the new creation as the church. When we embrace Christ, he transforms us and makes us new. And so Paul's letters often start with the story of Israel, and then he talks about we have become new creation as the church. And then he says, therefore, now that you are the new creation, live this way. He describes this is who you are because of Jesus. And since you are this way, now live this way. And so these five statements, for example, are just a sample of those 17 you have on your list. Bear with one another. Carry one another's burdens. Encourage one another. Fellowship with one another. And forgive one another. And what we learned on our time mentoring and planting Peace Church Philippines was, the closer we got, the more coffee we drank, the more evenings we spent together crying or laughing, the more intimate we could become and the more faithful we could become at doing these things together. We could challenge one another. We could encourage one another. And so I've given you the list of the rest of those, and I want to encourage you this week, read through them and start letting this, or continue letting this, capture your imagination of who God is calling us to be as the body of Christ in this world. Can you go to the next slide, please? Have any of you seen this picture before? Some of you have met this guy before beside me. His name's Taki Endaya. And he was a young leader I met 5 years ago. He's been part of Peace Church for the whole time that we were there. And Taki was trained as a community organizer. We don't really have that language here, but in the Philippines, a community organizer is someone who goes into a neighborhood, gathers the people, assesses the community needs, and then says, how can we work together to build a better community, to build a better neighborhood, to build a better city? It's very much what a church planter would do, except from the government perspective rather than from the church. Well, Taki, over the years, started drawing, and you'll see that picture at the top with the little girl sitting by the presents. That's one of his drawings. And 3 years ago, Christina and I were speaking at First Mennonite in Edmonton, and Donita Weeb, the former pastor there, came up to me and said, hey, I do children's books. Do you think there'd be someone who'd want to do some drawing for me? And Taki volunteered, and over the last 3 years, Taki had been working on these drawings for Donita's children's book. And as he was working on it, he was sometimes having some struggles with the discipline of getting it done or struggling with his own confidence. Like, who am I to write a book that would be sent around the world? And there was a time when Taki removed himself from our community. He stepped out for 2 months. We didn't really see him. We had this phrase in Peace Church. He went into hermit mode. He became a hermit. And he was just at his house, and he wasn't far from a lot of our church community, but he just kind of secluded himself. And it was one of these moments where we all came together and we realized we need to figure out how to draw Taki out, how to go to him and show him how he's being loved, even if he wants to hide and he's struggling with confidence, with his identity, with his purpose, with what he thinks he can actually do. And so we went to him and we challenged him, but we also went to him and we embraced him. And we brought him out. And this was about a year ago. And then Tacky and I sat down with some other people in the community. We said, Tacky, let's make a plan and let's get these books done. Let's make a plan and see how you as a trained community organizer can work to represent Peace Church Philippines and represent Jesus in your neighborhood with the skills you have. We want you to be confident because we know you're talented. And so Tacky finished these drawings. He finished 21 of them, I believe. And 3 months ago, we sent them back to Donita, the hard copies and digital copies. And Tacky was paid really well, really fairly. And it was just this spark, this realization, wow, I have a very marketable skill right here in my hands, right there in his imagination. And the funny thing was, his drawing all started with a drawing he did for Cody. He'd taken this picture and he drew a picture of Cody on a dinosaur and put Cody's name at the top. And as he gave it to him as a present, we both said, Christina and I both said, you could sell this. This is amazing. That was 5 years ago when Cody's, it must have been his fourth birthday. And now here he is, here, having done these drawings. Well, fast forward to the picture at the bottom, the big group of people, and you can barely see our family in the top left corner there. And Tacky is holding Jericho up. He's wearing a hat. That's an organization that has asked Tacky to be their director. I think they call him a convener, but really he's the executive secretary or the executive of this. This organization is called Likhabi, and it means, in Tagalog, Likhabi means woven together. And it's a group of youth from over 30 different churches, and they go from church to church training youth how to support one another and how to support their friends and their neighborhoods with a rise in suicides in the Philippines among the youth. A lot of Filipino youth feel a lot of pressure. Sometimes it's because they can't eat every day, and it's because of poverty. Sometimes it's because of school pressure. There was a story of a girl who committed suicide because she'd lost a scholarship. And so many of these times people commit suicide, it's because they don't feel the support or they don't know where to go to get support. And so these youth, led by Tacky, this young guy who's taken so much leadership now, they're being the hands and feet of Christ, going to church and school to school, sharing the message that in Christ, you're infinitely valuable. And we're a group of people who have the skills and want to train your neighborhood to be able to support you if you are feeling depression. So that's one amazing story that's come out of our ministry. Second, one more. This was about 2 months ago. A lot of you have seen the news in the Philippines and how violent things have been over the last year with the current president and this war on drugs that started off very violently in the Philippines. And the church in the Philippines is quite polarized. You have one side who wants to support the president and really believes that he's put there by God. And you have another side that is very violently opposed to him. And not so much that they're willing to take up arms yet, but very divided. The church is quite divided. And over the 6 years, we had drawn a network of people who were hearing the message of Christ and seeing it in ways that we as Anabaptists would see it. Christ calls us to engage in the world, to serve our neighbors, to love our neighbors practically. And he calls us to do it nonviolently, no matter what. And so 2 months ago, we realized as we were leaving, we have a group, a big network of about 50 different people and organizations that don't even really know each other. Our church is the only connecting point, but they're all over. They're in the Catholic Church, they're in the mainline church, they're in the evangelical church, they're individuals who are pastoring and doing all kinds of things that we've had dialogue with. And so we realized we need to bring them all together. So the Philippine Council of Evangelical Churches and the bishop, Dan Pantoja's younger brother is the bishop of the Evangelical Church. And so he sponsored the meeting. He said, yes, you can use our facilities for that. And we gathered together. At this point, there was 12 leaders, older, younger, from PhD to people who live and minister on the street, and they have a church around a table, literally on the street corner as the buses drive by. And it was an amazing dialogue. It was an amazing dialogue hearing people say, we want to be the church, and we want to be the network who stands in the middle between the people who say the president is sent by God and whatever he says we have to do. And on the other side, we want to oppose the violence on the streets no matter what, to this Jesus-centered third way community that sits together prayerfully, struggling with scripture, struggling with what's happening on the streets, with violence, and listening and saying, we'll journey together and our organizations together will be a part of the healing of our neighborhoods. And on the left side of the picture, you see a guy wearing a gray shirt with his hand on his chin like this. His name's Bernard. And him and his wife, his girlfriend, him and his fiance had called me after Peace Church led a trauma healing event. There were 14 families who'd had one of their family members killed in a drug raid by the police. And we had gone to do some trauma care for those families and to pray with them, to listen to their stories, and to see how the church could support them in their neighborhood. We'd been working with a Catholic organization side by side in that. And after that, I'd shared some pictures and I told the story on Facebook, what we were doing. And this guy, Bernard, and his wife, his fiance, Jillian, emailed me right away. Hey, can we participate? We want to be involved. We have a wealthy church in a different part of the city that doesn't have that kind of violence. But we want to be involved, and our church said we want to engage and hear the real stories of suffering so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus too. And so Christina and I had been mentoring him and his wife over the years, or over the last 6 months, and we invited him to this meeting. And at one point in the meeting, we were going around the circle asking everyone, are you really committed to this network? Are you committed to the vision of figuring out how to be Jesus's third way people here? And Bernard said, I'm committed as an individual, but we commit our whole church as well. This is something our entire congregation and the national movement of our church called C3 needs to be involved in. And it was just a moment of realization for Christina and I and for Peace Church, saying this movement of the Holy Spirit going into the world and sharing the gospel of peace, sharing salvation, and inviting people to meet Christ and be transformed in worship, in prayer, in service. It's moving. God is doing this. And we're so blessed to be a part of it. And we're so blessed to be able to share these stories with you who've been a part of it, like I said a few minutes ago, starting 10 years ago when you supported Christina and I to go to the Philippines with Dan and Joji the first time. Can you go to the next slide, please? Oh. Can you click it forward, maybe? Okay, go back. There's one picture at the top it didn't make it into the slide when it got changed, but I had a picture there of when we were sent from Emmanuel Mennonite, and everyone up on the stage sending us, and Gerd and Regina were there, Siegfried Bartel was there, some others from this congregation, I think, were there as well. Well, this was April 29th, last month, 3 weeks ago. And this is a large part of our church community. The picture on the right is at the airport. The picture on the left is in our house. And these are the people we cried with at the end of our time. These are the people who've become our family. These are the church family who you've now grown to be brothers and sisters with. And hopefully, as many of them have said, these are the people who are going to come visit and that we'll bring out to Peace from Abbotsford to come visit. And the emotion and the challenge of a transition like this is, it's really unbelievable. Christina told me this story. She was sitting on our front porch the way our house worked in the Philippines, we had like a family room area and a door, and then we had a front porch. And she was sitting on the front porch, and she'd gotten text messages from some of the people who couldn't make it to this event to say goodbye to us. And there were people saying, you know, we love you and we miss you and we're sorry we can't be there. We'll see you again soon, we hope. And she's just in tears and so sad that there's so many people we won't see for who knows how many years that we've really been family with. And then at the same moment, she gets a text message from her sister in White Rock. Hey, Christina, we're so excited that you're coming and we're going to see you at the airport and we're going to see you at Grandma and Grandpa's house. And Christina just describes feeling this in the same 5 minutes from two different parts of the world. She gets a message that is just this lament and, oh, we miss you and we're family. And just celebration that, wow, we're going to see our family and we're going to be together with them soon. And that's what it feels like for us to come back. And we've been so blessed to be part of the global church. And we've built so many deep relationships. And at the same time, it's hard. And we're so blessed to come back to MCBC and MC Canada and be part of this part of the Mennonite church and be embraced in Yarrow and be embraced by all of you and give service here and help lead the Mennonite church here. But at the same time, we still feel that tension. And we will for many years, even as Winston and his wife had said about their coming here from South Africa. Next slide, please. So what can we learn from Scripture? And what can we learn from this idea of intimate community we've grown to? I think we need to learn, we can hear the Holy Spirit calling us to be deeply intimate with one another, like on a jeepney. And often that's more intimate than our culture says is normal. We have to give people space. We have to often give people privacy if they want it. And I think in the church community, we have to respect the boundaries people build. But we also have a deeper intimacy with one another as family to encourage and to challenge one another. Like in the case of Tacky, when he was separating himself, so that we found a way that we could go to him, that he was ready to hear and he was ready to be embraced. It's not always normal in our culture, but it's what's becoming normal in the church. Next slide, please. We need to hear the Holy Spirit calling you to look at this list of one another's this week and imagine living the way you were created to live. The thing about this list and these commands is Paul is always telling us, this is who you were designed to be. This is who you were created to be. This is how you were created to live. So now go do it because Christ has transformed you. One more. Finally, know that we are all new creations in Jesus Christ. And as his new creation, traveling together as the Jeepney Church with this kind of intimacy, this is the new normal. Like Christina said at the end of her article, we cannot imagine being church together without this kind of intimacy, these kind of small groups in a church community, this kind of drinking coffee, this kind of going out into the street together to know our neighbors. And we really believe that as we serve MCBC, as we serve the church in Yarrow, that God is calling us to help share what we've learned from the Filipino church about intimacy and journeying together so that our churches will continue to grow, that people will continue to find Christ and find hope in these congregations of MCBC and the church around the world as people see and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ through our words and through our actions. God bless you.